With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
What is going on? Good morning. Happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you. Hope you had a marvelous weekend. I did. I had a great weekend. Hung out with my kids, watched some basketball and some soccer, thought about baseball, and look forward to saying these words to you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process, or they loan that fits your life, Rocket can. There's a lot of stuff to unpack throughout the show. But we have a jam-packed 2 hours for you here on the program. That doesn't mean we will not make time for you if you want to weigh in. We will. You're the priority. And if you want to call in, you want to take advantage of that fact, on the phone lines, phone number is 855-212-4CBS. And the man who will answer the phone, the executive producer, is Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom. You can also hit me up on Twitter, SportsRider, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. I don't understand Top Shot. It feels like the NBA is pulling a fast one on people with way too much money. But we're going to try to figure it out. We're going to get into it. I'm going to try in a way that is reasonable and not shouting into this microphone. I don't think that's something you love. To just explain why I think the NFL, and I love the NFL. I miss the NFL. I think they're making a mistake with 17 games. Peter King reporting today that that's expected and coming. If it happens, it'll push next year's Super Bowl here where I'm sitting in Los Angeles back to February 13th, latest Super Bowl in history. That's not the issue. But I think it's a mistake of either small or gigantic proportions. And I'll just give you my perspective at the end of this hour why that's the case. Sometimes you just can't let go. Look, we were all in high school once. I certainly did. Had a situation with an ex-girlfriend. Why? Sometimes life moves on. Drew Brees. Sometimes, you know, things are over. Drew Brees. Sometimes you got to grow the hell up and understand that's life. Drew Brees. Little worried about Drew. We'll talk to you about that throughout the show. By ourselves coming up, we're going to ask Andrew Bogish whether we're in a simulation. A physicist came up with a algorithm involving artificial intelligence that may or may not solve the question of whether we're in a simulation. I sent the article to the guys. Andrew yelled at me, "It's too early! It's too early for this!" It was 4:15 my time. It was 7:15 his time. Deal with it. And Tom reflected what I reflected. I don't understand that article. We'll get into that. And I'm really excited. Tom's actually excited. I'm not excited. Used to do this in the evenings. I've got a sports quiz that I wrote myself. I'm very excited about it. That will pit Tom DiBenedetto against Andrew Bogish, the man on updates. Very, very pumped. I want to start here, though. I want to start with the way in which, and I think it's the nature of not just sports, but culture today, the way in which we so often miss the obvious because we are so hopeful for the new or for the thing that's right in our backyard. We did that with Tom Brady and the Bucks. We did. And even I thought I was ahead of it. Thought I was smarter than the average bear by continuously saying and betting on the Bucks to win games. And then they got to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and I staked what would have been a lot of money had I covered that game in a pool that I'm in, and I made the same mistake. Didn't appreciate Tom Brady for what he is. Everything seems obvious in retrospect. 2 years ago, city I'm sitting in, wrote off LeBron James, including you Lakers fans, including you fair-weather bandwagon Lakers. He's not Kobe. No, he's not. But he is LeBron, so I think it's going to be okay. And it was. And those are the obvious examples. Those are champions. We doubt champions after they've been multi-time champions that they can do it again. Of course, we're going to doubt teams that will eventually get there before they've proven the point. And that, to me, is the Milwaukee Bucks. The Dodgers might be a more apt comparison over the last few years. I mean, all they do is fail. They're not going to win again, except for the fact that the reason we talk about their failure is that they were building towards something. Yes, it took the Dodgers 7 or 10 or 50 years. I get it. The Milwaukee Bucks are the most underappreciated team in the NBA relative to what they can do. And there were a couple examples yesterday for me that brought the point home. One is certainly and absolutely a really striking win for Milwaukee against a really good Clippers team. That is an excellent Los Angeles Clippers team. That is a 24-12 Clippers team that's been playing really, really good basketball. And in the fourth quarter, Giannis did the thing that people say that he can't do. He took over. He imposed his will. Not just the emphatic dunk that on Top Shot will probably be worth $1 million that we'll try to explain to you in 15 or 20 minutes. Apparently you can buy highlights and you own them. Why can't I go to YouTube, you ask? You can. Why would I pay money for something I can go to YouTube for? I am with you. Either way, it was a magnificent dunk that underscored 17 fourth quarter points from the Greek Freak. And the other story that percolated out there, I think because of a colleague of mine here at CBS Sports, like one of the hosts in the afternoons, everyone, have your opinion. That's totally fine. Do your thing. But there was a Julius Randle comparison. I don't remember. I think it was like he's better than Kareem or somebody. I don't know. So I missed all the details. And it became this New York Knicks are amazing storyline. And this argument in the sports world, well, Knicks are contenders. They're 18-17. They're over 500 for the first time since blah, 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 blah. And I'm about to take a shot at New York, and I don't mean to because I love New York City. I love New York City. I lived there for two wonderful years. It's my daughter's favorite place. I've also lived in Miami. I like Miami a lot. I lived in Kansas City. I love Kansas City. I lived in Dubuque, Iowa for a long time. Love Dubuque. Lived in Chicago. Lived in London. Do you know what I don't do? I don't pretend the news that comes out of insert one of those places is the most important thing on earth just because I have a connection to it. Hey, guys, I was going to talk to you about the Bucks today and how good they are, but Loras College has had a real nice run in Division III basketball. Steve Stevenson's had 14 points and made 3 of 3 threes. We got to talk about this guy. Come on. We're going to spend energy talking about the New York Knicks and talk about what they can be finally because they're in the 4 seed at 18-17. The 10 seed is 15-17. What are we talking about here? The storyline, if we were going to talk about Tom Thibodeau, the head coach of the Knicks, isn't Julius Randle and what he is. It's Karl-Anthony Towns and what he's not. That's the takeaway. Turns out Thibodeau is actually a pretty impressive coach when he has guys that'll buy in. But to me, it was just more disrespect to the Milwaukee Bucks. I happen to have a little expertise on this as the national NBA guy for CBS Sports and someone who does a lot of hits on CBS Sports HQ and on radio around the country talking NBA. And let me tell you how many times someone had asked me about the New York Knicks in the last 2 months on television or radio. Zero. Zero. That's exactly it. The problem becomes it's almost as scarce to be asked about the Milwaukee Bucks. And when it is, unless I'm out in Wisconsin, the question is, what went wrong there? How about the answer? Nothing. How about the answer the Bucks are 21-13, they're half a game behind the Brooklyn Nets? How about the fact they're a game behind the Sixers as the best team in the Eastern Conference? How about the fact they have a back-to-back MVP who just scored 17 points in the fourth quarter against a Clippers team that played its stars and has Kawhi Leonard operate at a really high level? How about the fact that for most teams, the postseason is like climbing Everest? It is a brutal and grueling process, and there's no guarantee you get to the top, but you don't jump to it. Unless you have a superhero, and by that I mean LeBron James, you don't jump to it. You don't. It's part of my doubt on the Brooklyn Nets. I think I'm a much bigger believer in the Nets next year, even 2 years from now, if they're all together. Doesn't mean they won't do it. They got three superheroes. This is a Bucks team that I would argue more than any team in the NBA was impacted negatively by last year's shutdown and restart in Orlando. They were in a remarkable groove when this pandemic ran shut the world down. And they did not reclaim that in Orlando. We speculated before the bubble in Orlando began, and it proved to be true, we being most of us in the media, fans, NBA folks, that experience with success in the postseason, and therefore veteran leadership, was going to be critical to success in the bubble, which is why a LeBron James team played an Eric Spoelstra coach team with a guy like Jimmy Butler in an NBA Finals. I'm not sure the Warriors, their first year they made that run, get it done in the bubble. To say nothing of the fact the Milwaukee Bucks were the best team at home last year and that teams were terrified of having to go into Milwaukee. Before the shutdown, there was all this, I think, rightful conversation, correct speculation about how do you gerrymander your play so you avoid the Bucks at home in Milwaukee in the postseason. It's also true, and I think this stat is really significant. It is rooted in history. There are only a couple teams in this century who have won an NBA championship and not been, I say this all the time, not been in the top 11 in offensive and defensive rating. That kind of balance is really important. It's why I just don't believe in Brooklyn. Their defense is so bad. It's why, again, the Thibodeau thing annoys the hell out of me. I think the Knicks are really interesting. I think they're heading in the right direction. But they're only a little bit better than the Pacers. They're not nearly as good as the Suns. They're in the same ballpark maybe as the Warriors, Portland, and Denver this year, and all of those teams have shown an ability to go much further. Why are we talking about Damian Lillard instead? And I'll say this about the Knicks head coach, Tom Thibodeau. He doesn't do balance. He doesn't produce teams that are both great offensively and defensively. He is the same thing. He's the mirror image of Mike D'Antoni, which, by the way, Knicks fans, you may know, didn't work. He's great at one thing, not another. Yes, the Knicks have the third best defensive rating in the NBA. It's amazing. But they're not that great offensively. And Julius Randle's not going to go out there and create his own opportunities, his own shots. He's just not. He's just not. The Milwaukee Bucks should be talked about, and it's disrespect that means that we don't. It's because we don't focus on the thing that's not new and sexy. We do that with guys like Tom Brady. We do that with guys like LeBron James. We do that with teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers in a sport, baseball, where it's hard to win in the postseason. The correlation between excellence in the regular season and the postseason, I think, is at its thinnest. Even though they'd won that NL West division for whatever it was, 7, 8, 9 years in a row. Of course, we're going to do it where it's harder to read the tea leaves. I'm not saying the Bucks road is easy. I think the Sixers are a legit team. Question marks about what they can be in the postseason. Doc Rivers is an underperformer in the postseason. So are his two stars in their short careers, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. The Brooklyn Nets are an absolute challenge. But they are question marks in the postseason. Kyrie's never done it, ever, without LeBron. And KD's never successfully done it without attaching himself to a 72-win Warriors team. Now, maybe attaching himself to Kyrie Irving and Harden's enough. I need to see it, but there are doubts. And yet we give those teams all the love in the world. There are doubts about the Bucks. Can Giannis create enough open shots, given the fact he's not a shooter? Can the guys around him hit three-pointers because Giannis is going to draw so much attention and they're basically going to box in one or triple-team Giannis, especially when he starts to play downhill? We're going to find out. But let's put some respect on the Milwaukee Bucks' name. Let's stop acting like they're a has-been team because they're in the middle of the country. Can you imagine if the Milwaukee Bucks, same story, they have a back-to-back MVP. They've added a guy like Jrue Holiday, who, by the way, just got to come back from missing almost 10 games because of the safety and health protocols, had been out. They were almost first in Eastern Conference. They had underperformed the last two postseasons for the reasons I talked about. We're a New York City team? All you would do is see that on that channel nobody watches anymore out of Bristol. That's all you would do. That's all you would hear. Or from radio hosts based in New York. And it is an annoyance of mine, and it probably shouldn't be. It annoyed me when I worked a different network based in L.A. and all they did was talk Lakers. It annoys me with colleagues I like and respect who want to talk about the Knicks and the Yankees constantly when we are a network that often services other places in the country. Talk about those cities when they've earned it. The Lakers should be a topic on national radio. The Dodgers should be a topic on national radio. The Yankees should be a topic on national radio. The Nets should certainly be a topic on national radio. The Knicks aren't interesting. They're not interesting. When your best player is Julius Randle, and you're trying to make the case that he's better than Chris Bosh, you're not interesting. He's Chris Bosh. I like Bosh. Come on. Put some respect on the Milwaukee Bucks name. Talk about that basketball team. Focus on the fact they're one of three teams in the top 11 in offensive and defensive rating, along with the Jazz, and I think, interestingly, the Phoenix Suns. There's a truism, largely true, in the NBA, that it's the third year where a player really makes a significant jump. That's where you can really see the pattern of superstardom or mediocrity from a promising player. That was true for Steph Curry. It was true for Giannis. It was true for Kawhi. True for a lot of people. Something similar can take place in the postseason. It took Jordan. And I'm not saying Giannis is Jordan, but he's a lot closer to that than, I don't know, let me think of a random guy. Julius Randle. Giannis has won two MVPs. Put some respect on his name. Let's tweet about him. Let's argue about him. Let's talk about him. I really think we should do RJ Barrett. We shouldn't. This is the third consecutive postseason with significant expectations and opportunities. Is Giannis good enough to carry a team? This is the year we start to find out. That's a big story. It might be the year we start to find out the same thing about Joel Embiid. It's a process. You don't write Kobe Bryant off in his first postseason experience or two. You don't write Michael Jordan off because he can't get it done right away. You don't write Steph Curry off the first few times he's in the playoffs after he starts to show he might someday be something interesting. You don't write these guys off that early. The Milwaukee Bucks are the most disrespected team in the NBA. And I think Giannis might be the most disrespected superstar. I don't even think he's a top five player. Stop. Stop. He's a back-to-back MVP. And he's the guy we should be focused on. Maybe it's because I'm from that part of the country. Maybe I'm making the same errant judgment I think colleagues of mine I like and respect on the coast make, and that's focused too much on where I come from. But I'll offer this up. As someone who has lived all over the Midwest, who even on the West Coast, LA's a big market, thinks the Pac-12 doesn't get the love and respect that it deserves, I wish, as radio hosts, as people that have a responsibility to talk sports nationally, we would talk about what is most significant to you and not most significant to us. That's why I didn't open the show with Barcelona having a bunch of dudes get arrested, because you don't care. Here's what I think you should care about, no matter where you are. The Milwaukee Bucks, and a really interesting intersection for them, there's two roads. One of those roads is Giannis living up to those expectations and excellence. And one of those is him not. And that's the question I think that's most interesting that is being answered in the NBA over the next two or three or four months, depending how that team does. That's the story of the NBA right now. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. You want to give us a call? We're going to try to make sense of Top Shop, and we're going to freak out Andrew Bogish with a physics professor's new scary algorithm. All that coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. And let me say this about the Milwaukee Bucks. Not afraid to label athletes as failures, even though they are more successful what they do than most of us will ever be at what we do, including me. It's relative to your talent and expectations. That's what it is. The mighty case he's striking out is the story, not the fact he was so talented he got to go to the plate in the first place. It's the way it works. But you got to know. I know James Harden is a choke artist late in games. I know it. I've seen it. You've seen it. I also know that can change, that human beings can overcome their frailties. Clayton Kershaw was a choke artist in the postseason, and he figured it out. Finally. I don't know what Giannis is going to be. Maybe he's not good enough. Maybe he's not the guy. I would just posit to you, we don't know yet, and it's a really interesting question. Speaking of things we don't know and understand, I don't get Top Shot. I saw it, saw the headlines, thought it was Top Golf. It's like, why is this trending? Wasn't. Here's the deal. And Tom DiBenedetto has researched it, the executive producer. He can, and maybe Bogish understands it. I don't understand Bitcoin. In fact, I think, playing tennis with a random intellectual celebrity guy that I bumped into, it's awkward. Like, what do you talk to these people about, right? I want to ask about Bitcoin. Like, because he's a smart guy, can you explain Bitcoin to me? That's my whole social game plan. And apparently Top Shot is similar, using the same technology, the fact it's on a chain online that I don't understand, that is beyond, is unhackable. You, sir, you, ma'am, whoever, wherever you are listening, can go out and buy any play that you see in the NBA, and you, quote unquote, own it. You own it. Somebody paid $200,000 for a LeBron dunk from, what, a year ago or 2019? $200,000. Do they have exclusive rights to that clip? No, they don't. Could they go watch it on YouTube, or could I for free? Yes, you could. So the person owns something that's already free, and there's no tangible way to have it in their hands. They just own it? Yes. This is sort of like, do you ever see the things back in the day where your parents were searching for something for your birthday, and they came to you and said, would you like to own Quadrant XRBS5221C on the other side of Mars? No. Would it be mine if we ever go there? Oh, no. Would I would my ancestors be able to inhabit that? No. It's a piece of paper, but you actually don't get the paper. But it's on a computer somewhere that you don't have access to. And everyone can go look at that part of Mars and sort of pretend it's theirs anyway. I'll give you 200 grand. Sold. That's Top Shot. I don't understand Top Shot. Is it just a scam by the NBA? Tom, can you explain to me what the hell's going on? By the way, I'm going to say this. People have too much money. I'm not trying to get in the whole wealth distribution and like the end of the middle class and blah, blah. Let's tax rich people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you can spend $200,000 on a clip of LeBron James you can get on YouTube.com, you have too much money.
So the way Mark Cuban would explain it is that they're essentially, it's like the 21st century trading card. It's like a digital card that's unique. And that's what is interesting about it. So it's like its own new trading card bubble, which interestingly enough, the trading cards are coming back too, which I guess is feeding into this. But clearly investors are just like diving in with 2 feet into this situation. And the way that it's being controlled by the NBA is they're releasing limited numbers of packs, they're calling it. So there's limited number of highlights available, and tens of thousands of people are getting online to bid on these. And then once they get sold, that's it. That highlight that you just referenced from LeBron, that dunk.
Once.
For all time. Now, you can resell if there's interest, like just like a stock.
It's not like Griffey's, upper deck number one car where there's...
Right. There's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 of them. Right. No, it's one that corresponds to one IP address that's unique on the internet and can't be hacked, is secure, so long as you trust the NBA,
so
I guess.
I could spend $5 on the crappiest highlight out there, like Julius Randle like walking to the bench, and I could send it to Bogush as a present and say, Bogush, this is for you.
Yes.
I got you this gift. You own it. It doesn't do anything. You can never hold it in your hands. I'm not sure what it means, but this is my present to you.
That's it. You can watch it on loop over and over and over again a lot of times in good quality. I think $16 is the cheapest one. So there's like role players that get released, kind of like, lesser players trading cards, and you can get bargains, quote unquote, on them. But even spending $16 on a highlight is weird. And look, I believe in the blockchain. Like Bitcoin, you're growing. The chain is growing. So each like unit of currency is growing off the same chain. So it can't be hacked or altered because it's like linked inextricably in that chain and built upon for all time. And that's the same exact concept that's happening here. It's just there's a big difference between the idea of a universal currency having utility in the future, which makes sense to a lot of people, and the idea that these highlights could have any kind of appreciating value in the future. For what reason, I don't understand. Just as highlights, as you just said it with YouTube and everything else, Twitter, become more and more readily available, why would these highlights go up in value?
How do
we
create Billy's blockchain where I sell, hey, what's up, for like $100,000? You can own that. Hey, what's up? That's only one of you get that. Hey, what's up?
I'm sure there's actually a possible way to do that. Somebody smarter than me would figure it out, but yeah.
We're in a simulation. That's the takeaway, okay? Bogus over here eating an apple, right? Like, I'm sitting here trying to understand blockchain. There's some physicist. I said this story this morning. Some physicist, I don't understand this at all, came up with now he's pounding the coffee. I love it. Everything, and his son was in the background. I got to say hi. It's a whole Bogus fiesta over here. We're in a simulation. Somebody came up with an equation that apparently can figure out whether we're in a simulation, but I don't understand the story. And Bogus thought it was too early, but not early enough to say it's too early with a bunch of periods in there. It wasn't so early that you couldn't communicate with four different sentences, every sentence being a word long.
I'm glad the effect came across. That was the point of it's too early for this. In fact, there's never a right time for this.
It was 7:15 your time.
I know, which is 4 15-year time, early. Which is definitely too early.
To be fair, I sent it to myself last night. I'm like, I'm not gonna text the guys at 3 a.m. I'll just like copy and paste it. It was too early. It was physically painful just to copy. I like, you know, where you click on it and you think you've copied it like 3 times. Like, oh my God, why won't it paste? I know I click copy. I have a very exciting thing for you, Andrew. I know you're excited. I know Tom's excited. We used to do this in the evenings between Stu and Trace. We're going to have a sports quiz between you two gentlemen that I wrote next hour, which I'm very excited about. You both look thrilled. Okay, guys, got to calm down. We have jobs,
Jameis Stu. Winston.
You won.
It's my answer to everything.
Now, those guys like competed for something. They actually competed for a punitive prize the other would be served up. So you guys should just think about the next hour. What do you want to like? What do you want the stakes to be? What are the stakes in this simulated world that we exist in, maybe, that you guys want to just think about it? Tom shaking his head as if to say, you decide. I'm up for anything. But I want you guys. I can. That's fine.
A Frank Ntilikina top shot highlight.
Okay. We can do that. The loser has to buy the other guy a top shot highlight.
For thousands of dollars?
I don't know.
Now, one of those $16 minimum ones.
I thought you could. Can you actually get your hands on it, or is that the starting bid?
I don't think so, because you got to get in line with 10,000 other people. And so it's like an all day thing just to buy one $16 highlight. But I could look into it.
So I guess if this works, there's no reason the NFL and Major League Baseball wouldn't try it. Although the NBA has a younger and much more sort of, I think, tech-savvy following. Maybe that's – I don't get it. I'm the old guy on his lawn, not even yelling, just scratching his belly trying to grasp what's happening.
Yeah, I'm not yelling, but I don't want to know about it. I don't want to waste energy on it. Let you guys have your fun and spend your money. I'm going to stay over here and not care about it.
Take it back. You're the old guy on the yard. I don't want to know about it. I don't want
don't
you to look at
say.
Me. Don't even look at me.
Right. Can't say top or shot or any combination of those two words to my face.
You just took a shot at one of my top topics, but I guess we just got.
That's a shot at me.
We gotta make it. All right, I have a question before you do it. I know that I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but is Barcelona and its legal dramas significant enough to make it into the Andrew Bogut highlight?
It is not at the moment.
I didn't think so. It's interesting. It's such a huge story internationally. It doesn't really matter here, right? I mean, I would argue
it's on the front page of ESPN.com, but I mean, I don't know that anybody I don't know how many people actually care about it or know about it.
I read everything I get my hands on about Barcelona, and I don't care that much. I was trying to work my way at 4 a.m, work my way around, like trying to, how do I Google Barcelona news without having to, I got it. Like, I'm already aware of this. When the guy goes to prison or not, cool. Tell me what's up with Pedri. Like, that's, yeah, I don't get it. I'm not into it that much. I mean.
How do you say this gentleman's last name? That's part of my hesitation as well.
Tom?
Is it Bartomeu?
Yeah, I think it is.
And I can't even say it right. It is Bartomeu.
A lot of people say Bartomeu. I don't think that's like crazy wrong, but I think it's Bartomeu. The thing for me is just like, imagine if the feds stormed the New England Patriots and like took somebody out in handcuffs. Like
how arrested.
Gigantic a story. Think about it. Or the Lakers, one of the top franchises in American sports. The Yankees.
I mean, any team.
It could be any team.
The Pirates.
Yeah.
Imagine
even, yeah, right. Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, and Bartomeu at his peak was better than Chris Bosh. I mean, so like that's a pretty significant. What?
That is such an inside joke, but you win.
Thank you. Do you want to do your update?
Yes, which is ironically sponsored by Chris Bosh, as well as Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Some breaking American football news. NFL Network says Washington expected to part ways in the coming days with QB Alex Smith. The 36-year-old wants to keep playing, but the football team apparently has other plans. Meanwhile, the football and the sports TV worlds have lost an important figure. Irv Cross passed away yesterday at 81. After playing for the Eagles and Rams and making 2 Pro Bowls, Cross became the first African-American analyst on national TV when he joined CBS in 1971. 4 years later, he became the host of the NFL Today, holding that position through 1989. LeBron James is apparently not taking any full games off for the time being, so blowout wins are very welcome.
Left side, Markieff Morris. One-on-one against Damian Lee. Throws it to a cutting LeBron. Look out. Down the middle, up and in. LeBron's got 12 points in 13 minutes, and the Lakers back
John
up by
Ireland
20.
On Lakers radio, LeBron and company led by 20 after the first quarter, 73-44 at halftime before beating Steve Kerr's Warriors 117-91.
We had no chance from the very beginning. We weren't ready to play, and they came out and played a great game. So just a very disappointing
LeBron
night
played a season-low 24 minutes in the blowout, scoring 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Devin Booker scored 43 in the Suns' 118-99 win in Minnesota. The Heat pushed their win streak to 6, 109-99 over the Hawks. The Celtics fought off the Wizards, 111-110. Houston losing its 11th in a row, 133-84 to the Grizzlies. And the Hornets stole a 127-126 win in Sacramento on Malik Monk's three-point play with 1.4 seconds left. Last night's Raptors-Bulls game postponed because of Toronto's fight with COVID. It's unclear if the Raptors will play their two remaining games before the All-Star break. Mets president Sandy Alderson said this morning he expects to start extension talks in the relatively near future with new shortstop Francisco Lindor and veteran outfielder Michael Conforto. Chicago winger Patrick Kane scored the 400th goal of his career in last night's 7-2 win over Detroit, and Colin Morikawa, a three-shot win at the WGC Workday Championship. He wore red, like many others, to show support for Tiger Woods. He thanked everyone that did that in a tweet last night, his first public comment since last week's crash. Bill, back to you.
Andrew Bogus, thank you, buddy. I also forgot I want to get to Scott Drew at Indiana later in the show. I think that's a really... Did you see this? There was a... I think it was Pat Forty. Was it Forty who wrote this story?
It was.
Making the case... And I'm... All right, so let me put my biases up front. I know Scott really well. I spent a week there for a story years ago, and I've gone back to Baylor as often as I can for work purposes to hang out with Scott. Scott and I are somewhat social away from the job, right? We keep in touch. We have dinner in the same town. Great guy. I love it. I would, if I'm Indiana, that is a hire, because even Crean, I think Tom Crean is a great coach. Even he, in the long run, to be fair, wasn't able. That's such a difficult job. Why not Scott Drew? Why not a guy? And Baylor, if you're listening, Waco, I'm not taking shots at your city. I'm not. It's like Portland. I love Portland. I had a great time in Waco. But Waco is not a desirable college town. It's like Manhattan, Kansas in a lot of ways. You need a very specific kind of recruiter and coach to bring kids to that school. And not only is Waco Waco as it relates to most college towns, you're competing against the idea, even in college basketball, of Texas Tech, of A&M. What Drew has done recruiting-wise there, I think, is amazing. And he's tapped into, that is has a very specific Christian tradition, a Baptist tradition, that is a part of Waco's identity as a school. And Scott has tapped into that. Scott Drew has gone out and recruited, really, with parents. Like, we will be a place that understands what our culture is. And I think it's important, not because that's Indiana, but Indiana is a very specific culture. And Scott Drew understands, he's shown... He knows how to take a very specific niche and to find a way to sell that to the right kids. I'm not sure if Scott leaves Baylor. I actually think he loves it. But if I'm Indiana, I'm making a run at him for sure.
Yeah, I get why Indiana would want him. I don't know anymore what coaches want to leave for, because things they would normally run to in recent years, I feel like people didn't run there. So I think a lot of the playing field is leveled out where jobs seem different or on the next scale up, and they really aren't anymore.
I agree, and I'll add to that. I think that's really smart. You are unfireable at Baylor if you're Scott Drew. I really believe, for a variety of reasons, that's a job for life. You could literally make the Final Four 2 years in a row at Indiana. It's like UCLA was. You could be there 2 years in a row, and then 2 years later, if you have two bad seasons, you are fired. Baylor's made, I should have looked it up before the show, I think one Final Four, if memory serves. Maybe it was an Elite Eight. They've made one, maybe it's two Elite Eights, but they've made one or two, you know, deep-ish runs. And he has they have top five recruiting classes every other year. Tom's got the answer.
Two Final Fours, four Elite Eights, but the last Final Four is 1950.
Oh, I mean under Scott. Yeah. Scott.
Yeah, no, two Elite Eights.
Two Elite Eights. Okay, right. So, and he's unfireable, right? Like, they understand what they have. And I think a lot like Milwaukee, like, I know that's a different comparison with the Dodgers. It's harder to break through, but there's every reason to think Baylor can. He recruits really impressive kids year after year after year. That's hard to do. It's important.
Indiana's kind of become a scary job, too. Like, the last two hires I thought were great. I mean, we love Tom Crean, and I think Archie's a great hire, too. It's not working right now. Something has changed. Yeah.
All right, let's do a warm-up to the quiz. It doesn't count, but this will give you an idea of what's coming, Andrew and Tom, for each of you, okay? What is the better job, Michigan football or Indiana basketball? What is the better job, Michigan football or Indiana basketball? Andrew Bokish gets to go first. A little precursor of what happens next hour when these count.
I'm by the skin of its teeth, I'm going to give this win to the Michigan Wolverines. Wow. That's the better job. I think right now, because you come in as the Harbaugh replacement, I think you get a little love by trying to change. Failure is a strong word, but I think jumping in and trying to fix what's not going on right now gives you a little more pizzazz than maybe, although similar situation in Indiana, but I think Harbaugh is just at a different level of frustration right now. So either guy coming in and maybe get a little more love out of that.
Failure is a strong word. So is absolute success. And I think we all agree this segment, the quiz, is an absolute success already because of Andrew and the music. Really the music and Andrew. I don't know what order. Together. It's like peanut butter and chocolate. They're perfect together.
I feel like my odds are best if I argue the other side, but I agree with him. It's Michigan. Yeah. Iconic helmets, the biggest stadium in college football. Mm. Michigan is still cool. They just don't win. I don't know that Indiana basketball is still quote-unquote cool.
Here's my only case for Indiana. And that is Michigan has the second most impressive history in college football in the Big Ten's history. I would argue Ohio State ahead of it. Indiana is the sort of nostalgic plus success program in college basketball. But I think it's a coin flip. Much like the competition will be, that was funny, Tom against Bogish next hour. All right, Andrew Bogish on Twitter. They're going to be in a quiz showdown. I do want to get into the NFL. I understand it. I get it. We all want to make money. Why the NFL is making a mistake, maybe a serious mistake, in pushing its regular season to 17 games. That is next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you on this Monday. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you listening to the program. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Oh, by the way, something I threw out there, I think Friday. A plan that we had before the world shut down was for me, I like to travel, and having lived all over the country, I love the ability to have and feel a connection to a lot of the markets we're on the air in. But you can't be everywhere over the course of, you know, the years that I've had. And we had this notion of doing some kind of a unofficial radio tour. Basically, I'll just go to various cities and hang out. And we had one of those markets, Boise, reach out that they're interested, they're excited. They it was a very welcoming note from their program director. So if you're listening, and if you're interested, and or you want to take me fishing, I love when people offer to take me fishing. I'm in. Like I used to fish constantly in Little Rock, and I don't think I've been fishing since. I haven't been fishing consistently since I lived in Des Moines, Iowa. I lived in downtown Des Moines. I mean, my God, 15 years ago, and there's two rivers that meet. Three blocks from the loft I lived in, I would fish every day. So I'm in. Anyway, sports writer, I'm basically soliciting you to be my friend. Will you take me out and be my friend? Sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. All right, so love the NFL. Understand the appeal of making as much money as you can, whether you make 30 grand a year or the NFL and you make $3 billion a year, whatever that number happens to be. If you have the ability, without hurting other people, to be Scrooge McDuck and swim in a pile of money in your personal vault with your three twin nephews, I guess triplets, do your thing. But just be wary of overextending. There really can be too much of a good thing. There really can be an opportunity to take something successful and to hurt it. And you see this in branding. And I brought this up before. I used to be obsessed with Krispy Kreme donuts. And I know they still are popular in certain places. But they expanded so quickly, and to be fair, I would eat so many Hot Now donuts that I can't touch another one, that it killed the stock for a certain time. I'm out here on the West Coast. In-N-Out Burger is a really big deal. But for a long time, In-N-Out Burger was a California-only company. And then they made a rule that they were only going to be in states that touched California. Then it was, you have to be able to drive a day from California to get to In-N-Out Burger. They haven't overdone it. Too much of a good thing become something that's problematic, that you don't take it seriously. And I worry about that for the National Football League. And Peter King's report that what was the inevitable, but I think an inevitable mistake is going to happen this year, that the NFL, the expectation is the NFL will go to 17 games. And the report is that television partners haven't been officially informed that, and the mechanics of shifting a Super Bowl, even one that's a year out, are massive. And no one has been informed, according to Peter King's reporting. No one has been informed here in Los Angeles that the Super Bowl would be shifted. That is part of what would happen to add that week, because they don't want to open games on Labor Day weekend because it can kill off ratings a little bit. And that means the Super Bowl will be February 13th, a week later, latest ever. And that doesn't bother me. My concern is that you're going to water down the product. You're going to overestimate the need of your customers to have some consistency, and that you're not reading the zeitgeist the way that it is right now. Here's the reality. The reality is that ratings are down across the board in sports. And a lot of folks tried to make the argument, because it fit their politics, that NBA ratings, which is the first thing that we could measure in the Black Lives Matter movement, sort of coinciding because of politics and sports. It's not true. It's not true. And it's not just the studies and the research, whether you reject science or not, whether you reject fact or not, it's there. It's the fact that everything's down across, I guess, all of the different shades of politics who are not in the sports I'm going to reference. Ratings are down in hockey, Stanley Cup final, NBA, NBA finals, NFL games to a lesser extent, but still down. The Preakness, Kentucky Derby, major tennis events, major golf events. I can go on. For whatever reason, and I don't know the answer, going back to the beginning of the pandemic and the world shutting down, sports haven't been consumed at the same rate, and it's a problem. So that's the headwind the NFL is walking into. At a time when people are consuming less sports, the NFL is interested in producing more. Now, there's a short-term economic benefit. There's massive, massive money. And because of the proliferation of both TiVo, right? I guess it'd be three things. TiVo, which means the ability to watch things later. But sports are one of the few things you can't TiVo. The only reason I can watch Barcelona games on delay is because there's nothing on my social media timeline. There's no alerts, right? I can hide from it. Can't do that with Super Bowl. So there's that. The fact that there are these streaming networks that are taking off, Paramount Plus launching this week, which is Viacom CBS's version. You should check it out. And a million others, and the rise of tech giants, Amazon, Apple TV, eventually, and Amazon certainly now, they are going to have massive, massive interest in spending a whole bunch of money in order to bring in these sports and to stock their streaming networks and really their tech apparatus for these kind of games. And there's the fact the big three, and I guess four if you include Fox, CBS, NBC and ABC are trying to stay alive in their sports operations by having to bid on these things. It means the rights to the games are massively expensive and valuable. But if I'm the NFL, I look to baseball. Baseball sells itself as a success. A friend of ours came on the show recently, talked baseball, and sold it as a success. Talked about the money that's pouring into the sport. And it's true. Baseball produces a whole bunch of income because of broadcast rights. But fewer people are watching those games and fewer people are going to those games. And that will catch up to you. You know, a business model that made tons of money, that was a monopoly, that didn't take its customers seriously, that lived in an ivory tower, that chased things that weren't significant to its audience, that printed cash and was impenetrable to all forces until they weren't? The industry I came up in, and that's the newspaper industry. You can run a monopoly, and you can run on the successes of the past for a really long time, but eventually things change. Boxing used to be the most significant sport in American culture. It's not anymore. Horse racing used to be the most significant sport in American culture. It's not anymore. Sprints. Track and field used to be one of the most significant sports in American culture. It's not even close anymore. You get my drift. The NFL is making a giant mistake. And that's before we get into, I just think, the reality of player safety. And I don't think the NFL cares about player safety or cares about offending you as a hypocrite if they can get away with it. Don't do it, NFL, for this reason. You want to be selfish? Be selfish for this reason. You have something that's magical. You have the most important sport on earth. You have the most lucrative sport in American culture. Stay at 16 games. Stay at 16 games. Leave well enough alone. Add playoff teams. Add playoff games. Create revenue there. Don't add regular season games. It may not be a problem now. It will be in the long run. I think it's a mistake. And it's good for me. Another week we can talk about the NFL here on the show. I just think it's a mistake for the National Football League. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I want to get into Drew Brees and the catch-22 of greatness when greatness can't let go. I think that's happening with the New Orleans Star, and we'll do that next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
What's going on this Monday? Bill Writer with you. Appreciate you being here. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to give us a call, we are, as always, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We were just talking last hour, if you're just joining us, thank you so much for letting us come into your world here on this Monday morning. I was talking about 10 or 15 minutes ago about my concern, if I were the NFL, what would be my reticence to go to 17 games in a regular season, something Peter King says, as expected, they will do this year. Despite the fact there's a lot of money to be made. I know that. That's the reason. But short-term economic thinking can lead to long-term economic mistakes. And I worry that's the case. And Robert Poirier on Twitter tweeted at me at SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, something that I had thought about, I had broached with Tom, we had talked about, and that is, I'll read Robert's tweet, go to 17 games, but limit players to 16 games, inactive for at least one. And from a player safety perspective, it's a great idea. Now, what would happen in that case is that the NFL would say, fine, that's fine, that's fine. You don't get more money, right? You don't get, your share of this is not increasing by 1/16. It's not 1/17 of the pie. But the bigger problem with that idea is that it would create, I think, automatically the thing it's going to create anyway. But it would exacerbate the problem. And the problem is this, that the games wouldn't be as interesting. That there'd be a dullness, at least occasionally, to what you're watching. That the sense that I can't miss this, that every moment matters, would be erased. And I think it underscores further the fact that it's not about player safety. It's never been about player safety. It's been about protecting the game. If the bigwigs of the National Football League, by the way, unfortunately, I think this reflects the bigwigs of most American corporations. I mean, there have been so many movies about chemical companies dumping chemicals in the backyards of people's homes that have caused life-threatening problems. Those movies are like cliches now, and they're true stories. What's the takeaway? Unfortunately, not everyone, but unfortunately, there are greedy people. You got a former president of France right now who's in deep, deep trouble for corruption. And people, I saw the reactions. Right? Oh, the corruption of politicians. I hear that a lot from politicians when they're running for office. The corruption of politicians. That's why I want to be a politician. It's just the corruption of human beings. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. I just hope that's not absolutely true in every single case. Either way, the NFL doesn't care about player safety. They could wave a magic wand, have the game at its most interesting, and have nobody care about the damage to the players, they would do it. It would be done. It would be. So I don't hate the idea, Rob, if player safety were the tail that wagged the dog. It's just not. And it's never going to be. I'm a creature of consistency. I like things the way that they are. And Tom, you like to bring these topics up, and they used to do this to me when we did this show, Writer Than You, in the evenings here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Bill Ryder, by the way. Thanks for being here. I would get so angry about the National League having a DH, even temporarily, and the idea that it would be permanent, which just went away, that they would just drop it into a buy or sell, and I would just see red. You would think somebody cut me off and then backed into my car and then walk up and ask how I was doing is my response. I don't like change in those sorts of areas. It's weird. I'm a wanderlust guy. I travel a lot. When I drive home, I try to drive different routes. Like I like to do different things, but the things I've chosen, where I go to eat, sports I watch, I want consistency. And I understand that from a career perspective as well. I get when you love something. Very few of us get to do jobs that we love. And few of us still get to do jobs that we love for the majority of or the entirety of our working lives. I love doing radio. I love it. It is, and I've had a lot of jobs at a lot of places. I have written, I have done television, I have done radio. I've been very lucky. And before that, you know, I was not a kid, a high school kid, worked at Walmart, worked at, I did non-sports writing. I sold melons and corn in Dubuque, Iowa. I've done a lot of jobs. This is the one job I've truly loved completely. So I understand how hard it would be to give something up. But Drew Brees, you got to let go, man. I don't know if you saw this video, right? Drew Brees, you know, either he's a CrossFit guy, which he's not, and he's just obsessed with working out, or he's planning to return. And there's been a strange silence from Drew Brees and the expected retirement announcement, right? In the beginning, it felt like this. Oh, how nice of Drew to go the opposite round of a Jeter or a Kobe. And, you know, he's going to Tim Duncan this thing. He's going to play his games. He's going to clearly age before us. He's going to be less than. And his goodbye will be after the sun sets. He doesn't need that sunshine to say goodbye. He'll do it in the darkness. He'll do it away from his regular season. And now I'm starting to worry he's going to come back. And this isn't, I don't want to make fun of him. It's easy, right? Easy to make fun of Brett Favre. Easy to make fun of Michael Jordan. Easy to make fun of guys who can't. And part of the reason it's easy, let's be honest, right? Jealousy, unfortunately, is a major motivator of human nature. Try to fight it. Try to be gracious. I try. Try to celebrate other people's successes. But if you're Drew Brees, if you're Michael Jordan, if you're Derek Jeter, any of these guys, you've lived a life that 99.999% of us craved. Some of us, me, right, understood early on that we were never going to have that life. Others, Tom, played baseball really effectively all the way to college. And I once thought in the minors, but I was wrong. I don't know why I thought he made it to AAA, but I did. It's a running joke. But eventually got there. I've got colleagues, you know, across radio who still think they're professional athletes who never play professional sports. They just think they do. They did. And I think probably all of us, deep down, enjoy the moment these guys have to face reality. That's just the truth. Human beings are competitive by nature. But that's not what motivates me to say to Drew Brees, you got to step away. And I think my perspective on this changed when I got into television. There's nothing like having access to the people that you criticize to add some nuance to your criticisms. And that was true for me when I became friends and or not friends, depending on the guy, with colleagues who were professional athletes. And I would like to think the reverse was true. And for some of those guys who got to know me, it reinforced their hatred for the media. And for others, I know it changed things. But it's just been explained to me. If you love something and it defines your life and you've succeeded the way Drew Brees has, or Michael Jordan or Brett Favre or Derek Jeter, you've also had to overcome doubters again and again and again. Even Jordan did, or thought he did. Think about Drew Brees and his height, the start of his career. He's now somewhere between the third and 10th greatest QB in the history of the game. And so he's been programmed to believe that all the criticism that surrounded him, all the doubters, were really just the background music of his success, were the soundtrack of his excellence. And Tom Brady's made it really easy, unfortunately, to hold on to this idea you can still do it. Here's my thing on Drew Brees. And if you disagree, 855-212-4CBS. I see Dimitri in Detroit. We'll get to you in a second here, Dimitri. I don't think Drew Brees has it left. I don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's capable. I don't think he'll succeed. I don't think he's good for the Saints. I like Drew Brees a lot. A lot. Great guy. I'm not a Ben Roethlisberger. I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I don't like him. I have more confidence that little Ben can play like Big Ben when he comes back next year. We know he's coming back. Than I do Drew Brees. And I think it's a 50-50 proposition for Roethlisberger. He's younger, too. It's easy to look at colleagues and mistake their excellence or their skills for your own. Just because Tom Brady can do it doesn't mean most guys can in their 40s. Look at Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Those guys are friends. I believe they're godfathers to each other's children, actually. I covered each of them. I can speak to the fact, cover them together in Miami for a year. They were in the same draft class. Obviously, LeBron a little bit younger because he didn't go to college. D. Wade at Marquette with Tom Crean. But same number of professional years. And LeBron's going to play a much longer career than Dwayne Wade, even when you adjust for age, right? The age difference of the draft class. Wade retired way before LeBron. And LeBron may play, what is he, 35, 36? I can't even keep track of his age. I keep wanting to say 34. And I think I always undersell because of how well he's playing. Yeah, 36. That's insane. He'll play till he's 40. That's not because Dwayne Wade sucked or was weak. It's because it's hard to be LeBron James on every level, including the ability to push back against father time. Absolute same thing is true in trying to emulate Tom Brady. Drew Brees just doesn't have it anymore. And you know how you know? And I understand Bill Belichick got it wrong. Maybe Sean Payton's getting it wrong. But Sean Payton sure doesn't seem like he is overly hopeful, overly certain that Brees can come back. People make mistakes. Belichick made that mistake. People at Barcelona whispered they thought Messi was over the hill. People in Detroit, we're about to go to a call in Detroit. People in Detroit thought Justin Verlander a few years ago wasn't the guy he used to be. It went pretty well for the Astros and for Justin Verlander. I get it. I get it. I think Drew Brees is done. And I think it's time to step away. And remember, you can get seriously injured in football. And in his case, he got broken ribs and what, a hole in the lung? Collapsed lung? Having had both those injuries in a car accident, I can tell you, it's no small thing. It's time to move on. It's an amazing career. I just think it's run its course. 855-212-4CBS. Love Detroit, by the way. Love Detroit. My buddy Therese from Detroit. Dimitri, what's up, buddy? Appreciate you listening. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I love your show, but I think you're a little bit wrong on this because Drew Brees last year, he had 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. His quarterback rating was still very high, like 106. And he played against Detroit. He completely outclassed Matt Stafford from what I saw. Matt Stafford just got traded for a lot. So I think Drew Brees still has, and Michael Thomas was out last year, and they have no real second receiver on the team, no number one tight end. Like, Jared Cook is not a number one anymore. I mean, I don't get why you are saying he's done other than the health. If he can stay healthy, then I see him still playing at a really high level next year.
Dimitri, I hope you're right, dude. Thanks for the call, man, and I appreciate you. And by the way, you're always welcome. I should say this more. We said this a lot in the night show. I'm all about respect. You disagree, you think something I said is stupid, call in and tell me. Don't tell me it's dumb. Just tell me why I'm wrong. Dude, I hope you're right. And again, appreciate you listening to Detroit. I really, really do. I just don't think you are. And you're right. Statistically, he had a pretty nice season last year. But if you watch the games, I just thought he looked completely and utterly over the hill. 3 of those 6 interceptions came in the last 2 of the last 3 games. His completion percentage sank markedly over the end of the season. That dude completed 70% of his passes that year. Only 60% in the last 4 games. 4-game sample size. Come back from injury. Some restrictions. I get it. And by the way, Drew Brees thinks he's good enough. That's why he's working out. Sean Payton doesn't. That's why he's clearly been edging for a way to transition. And the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady story has shown us maybe Brees is right, maybe Dimitri's right. I don't see it. All right, 855-212-4CBS if you want to weigh in on Drew Brees and a very special sports quiz between Mr. Bogus and Mr. DiBenedetto next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
So let's get Andrew Bogus and Andrew Bogus on Twitter. He's the Eye of the Tiger, and Tom DiBenedetto, producer_Tom. Guys, let's get a few ground rules down here for the quiz. 1, what are we playing for? What's on the line?
I had an idea. I think, Bill, you have the power to declare this, you know, that it can happen. I say that the winner gets Stu Kovacs' PS5.
Okay, done. We'll have to inform Stu. I think you have to win like 3. You have to win like 3 different contests, how we did it. So we'll keep track, and we'll sort of put on the back, just in case Stu tries to push back. I'm not saying I'm going to get lawyers involved. I'm not saying there are people like, I'm breaking your legs. Give it to me. I'm not saying that guy, whisper phone's got people. I'm just saying.
But it does.
I might.
Do I have a limp? The poor guy just called in on Friday to wish you a happy birthday. The vibes were so good. Now the next Monday, the text after the show is, hey, Stu, by the way, your PS5 is up for grabs.
I mean, he didn't get me a present. This is the present. What do you?
Thanks, Stu.
What do you want me to say? Second thing. So I've got a very short one, just a little warm up. I've got a series of questions with multiple choice answers. Do you want each of you to be able to choose the same thing? Or do you want a quiz style where you go every other, and if Andrew takes one of the answers, Tom cannot take that answer, even if so that you can't both get it right? Or do you want to just free for all and you can both guess the same thing if you want to? Do you want a free for all the first time?
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess you can see us raise our hand, right? And you can just pick who raises his hand first.
Or you want to do the button.
And that person
like,
jumps in.
Wow.
Because we can't do multiple choice and say, like, I take A, so therefore he can't pick A, because what if A is the answer? Right. Like,
we'll just go every other, and you guys can take the same answer if you want. And we'll just, go to the end.
All right.
And if you guys take the same answer every time, you both lose. There you go.
Right.
All right, we have some music for the... Hold on. Sorry, I got Imogene. And now, the Andrew Bogus versus Tom DiBenedetto sports quiz for Stu's PS5 and the phone number of three of his seven girlfriends. Do with that number what you want. Set up your single friends. Who would like to go first? Who's older? Who's the older of the two of you? Bogus.
Well, I'm definitely older, but this is Tom's house, so Tom should go first, or at least have the option to choose where he goes.
Tom, would you like to go first or defer?
I usually defer, but I'll go first.
All right. Which of the following is not a Ray Hudson-ism? Ray Hudson is the color commentator on La Liga matches, including Barcelona. One of these he said this weekend. I can't let you guys look at me during this because I don't want you to see me smile. So I'm going to put this paper up. Which of the following is not a Ray Hudsonism? Number one, I need you to just pretend I'm doing this in an Irish Scottish brogue, okay? That was as sloppy as a soup sandwich. That was as sloppy as a soup sandwich. Number two, he feasted like a werewolf, served a plate of livers. He feasted like a werewolf, served a plate of livers. Number three, that's as electric as lightning in Benjamin Franklin's hands. That's as electric as lightning in Benjamin Franklin's hands. And number four, allowing that is like letting Dracula into a blood bank. Which of those four isms has Ray Hudson actually not said on the air?
They're so good. I feel like the first three I'm familiar with and the last one I'm not. So I'm going to go with D. But it could honestly, I mean, I'd believe any of them are real.
Okay. So Tom believes that allowing that is like letting Dracula into a blood bank is the one that I made up.
He'd Bogus, say that,
would you like any of these to be reread to you?
Yeah, the second one, please. Yeah. The one involving werewolves.
Like a werewolf served a plate of livers.
I just wanted to hear you say werewolf again. That's going to be my answer.
Do I say
werewolf?
B
is my answer. Yes.
Wait, how do you say it?
Werewolf? Wolf? Werewolf. Werewolves? You're saying like werewolf.
Werewolf.
Bow wow.
I was going to say cat weird.
Either way, that's my answer. B is my answer.
So for both of you, I will need Mr. DiBenedetto to push the incorrect sign.
Oh.
He actually said when Messi scored this weekend, he feasted like a werewolf, served a plate of livers. Lori makes me rewind them.
The one
that I made up is that's as electric as lightning in Benjamin Franklin's hands.
All right, fine.
Yeah, it was, you know.
They're absurd.
Maybe too direct an American history reference should have been the hint, but I feel like I've heard him say something like that. I guess not.
All right. So it's 0-0 so far. Okay. Who has the better, which NBA team, which Los Angeles-based NBA team, has the better rating? The Clippers' defense or the Lakers' offense? So, are the Clippers better defensively than the Lakers are offensively, or is the reverse true? Andrew, you get to go first this time.
So it's Clippers D versus Lakers offense.
Which is higher rated in the NBA in their respective categories?
The Clippers defense, Bill. Clippers defense.
I'm going to write this down. Mr. DiBenedetto.
I'm going to agree it's the Clippers defense. Anticlimactically.
You both get a...
Yes. You're not wrong.
Interestingly, and I think importantly, neither of them are in the top, even remotely in the top 10. The Clippers have the 15th best defense in the NBA. The Lakers have the 18th best offensive. And as I've talked about before, that 10, those things, especially when you're sort of marginal, when you're not in that even 11 or 12 area, can be really problematic when you try to make a run. And I think the league's really deep this year. I think those are stats worth keeping an eye on. It's the idea you can flip the switch and just make it work hasn't proven true for the Warriors or for LeBron over the time they kept playing each other, which I think is really, even those Heat teams, when one of those categories sagged, they weren't able to quite do it. I think it's important. All right, so it's 1-1. You guys are on fire. All right. Which of the following of Julius Randle is actually in the top 10? Which of the following of Julius Randle, all-star for the New York Knicks, is in the top 10? You have to pick one. Minutes per game, peak performance is better than Michael Jordan's peak performance, rebounds, assists, player efficiency rating, points, or three-point shooting. I also always make these too hard. Early on, so I'll make these easier next time. That's a lot of things. Actually, it's 15 more. Only one of them is he in the top? Is he in the top 10?
I'll go rebounds.
Rebounds as well.
You're going to go the exact same answer?
Yeah, I know it's like 10-something, so that's my only thing I feel confident saying top 10.
It's close, but he's actually 12th in rebounds. The only statistical category in which Julius Randle is in the top 10 in the NBA of any significance is minutes.
Oh, man. Bummer.
I'm not saying that in any way dampens Julius Randle enthusiasm.
But
I'm
not
saying it doesn't.
Well, and it's tough because, like you said, minutes first, and that was my first thought. But then when you threw in the MJ category, it's like, oh, it's probably that one. But then you said rebounds. It's like, okay, that one makes more sense, the most sense. So I was at one point, I was with you on minutes.
1-1 tie. All right. Mm. You guys, this one, you guys are going to get this one. Which baseball player, as you're going to find out, I tend to watch things 20 years late and then assume they're super relevant and talk about them a lot. For the win. And an early lead for Stu's PS. Is it a 5?
Yeah, oh yeah. I got a 4. I don't want a 4. I want a 5.
For Stu's PS 5, as in the 5 times he'll thank me for taking it from him. Which baseball player did Larry David argue was overrated, leading to his mother's gravestone being rewritten by the Mason to read, her son was an a-hole who killed black swans? Which famous baseball player did Larry David say it was overrated with the Mason who did his mother's gravestone that led to those unfortunate engravings? Is it Derek Jeter, Moises Alou, Mark Grace, or Roger Maris?
Roger Maris.
Okay. Tom?
I'm ashamed that I don't remember this. I'm glad you're watching the show. I'm ashamed that I don't remember this.
So funny.
I mean, I think Bogush made the smart guess, but we can't guess the same thing again. What were the options again, please?
Your remaining options are Mark Grace, Moises Alou, and Derek Jeter. One of those names, or maybe Roger Maris, Larry David believes is overrated.
Well, I just picked rebounds after Tom did, so I think he should be allowed, if he wants to go with Maris here, he shouldn't
just
prevent it.
Just for variety, let's just say that. DJ.
Tom Bendetta with the win. With the win at the end! There is one more question. There is one more, actually, to be fair. I don't have an actual answer yet. But if it turns out one of you are right, it will override every other quiz we ever do, and you'll be the victor forever. It's a yes or no question. Are we in a simulation?
I have to go first.
Yes, you do.
Are we in one where Julius Randle is better than Chris Bosh?
No, we're not.
Okay.
No.
That would be a very specialized simulation.
It would. And it would be done by Julius Randle's relatives.
Very specific.
What answer do you want to hear this morning? I'm going to give you a no. We're not in a simulation. This is all real.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes to Kiss Up to the Boss. The answer is yes, this is a simulation.
I don't think Mark's going to like that answer, but I appreciate the effort.
Oh, my immediate boss, the one with the name on the show at the moment.
David? The David Marinick Show? Don't call me the boss. I hate
that. Is he the one that's writer than me?
Writer than you!
Figure that out.
I like the quiz. I feel like we can do the quiz weekly at some point in the show. You guys crushed it. Other than Bogus hiding behind every one of Tom's answers.
Ouch.
Next week, you're not allowed to. We're just going to do that. You're going to basically be blocked out. You ever played Blockus? I started playing with my family. It's obsessively awesome. You're just going to get blocked out, Bogus. Derek Jeter. I don't want to have this argument because people lose their minds. I think there's a case to be made that Jeter, like Kobe, overrated. Amazing, but maybe not rated as highly as the loyal fans in those markets might argue. Amazing episode.
And I like the quiz, too. It's just funny. I like the old quiz with Ryan and Stu also. It's just I also kind of knew a little bit too much about how the sausage was made in the instance of that quiz, so that's why it's hard to be on the other side and be a contestant and embrace the path we're going down now.
I'm not going to cheat you guys the way I plan to cheat Stu.
That's your plan today.
Bogus. We used to do like bonus questions, be like 25-24, and I'd be like, for 10 points, what was the name of Trace's fourth grade math teacher? And Stu would get it wrong, and Trace would get it right. Stu was not amused. I was amused. All right, so, can you, in this simulation that you have dubbed that we're in, Andrew, take the simulation a step further and give us a sports update?
Sure. The Washington football team and Alex Smith on the verge of a divorce. NFL Network reporting the team wants to move on, but the 36-year-old QB wants to keep playing. Smith was the AP Comeback Player of the Year this season after going 5-1 as a starter. He recently told GQ magazine Washington didn't want him to return to the field this season. In the NBA last night, the Celtics barely avoided another defeat, surviving Washington 111-110, with Jason Tatum scoring twice in the final 15 seconds, sent a Bradley Beal miss at the horn. Here's Boston head coach Brad Stevens.
This was going to be a really hard game, especially the way they're playing. I'm really happy with our guys because there was plenty of opportunities to fold there.
So Boston's now won two in a row after a three-game slide. Devin Booker scored 43 as the Suns won in Minnesota, 118-99. The Lakers took care of the Warriors, 117-91. The Grizz smacked the Rockets, 133-84, extending their losing streak to 11. And the Knicks were 109-90 winners in Detroit at 18-17. The Knicks are over 500 this late in the season for the first time since the end of the 2012-13 campaign. From college hoops, FSU and Leonard Hamilton said to be in agreement on a five-year extension that guarantees him $11.25 million. The extension apparently retroactive to last April. The next batch of spring training games starts in about 90 minutes. Yesterday, Trey Mancini played for the Orioles a year after being diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. He got a standing ovation from both dugouts and the fans before his first at-bat.
It was amazing. I almost teared up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. When I was up there and, everybody gave me a standing ovation and, I saw the guys on the field clapping on the Pirates and in their dugout and of course, our team and all our fans. And it meant the world to me.
Jumping from baseball to hockey history last night in Chicago, Patrick Kane became the 100th player with 400 career goals, doing so in Chicago's 7-2 win over the Red Wings. Novak Djokovic is number one again this week in men's tennis. He's guaranteed to be there next Monday, too, and that is when he'll break Roger Federer's record for longest run atop the rankings. For now, they share it at 310 consecutive weeks. And U.S. men's soccer just announced a match with Jamaica on March 25th in Austria. 3 days later, the Americans play in Northern Ireland. Bill, back to you.
All right, Bogus. I love that you leaned into the simulation thing. I mean, you really leaned into it. You're a believer.
For today, I did, yeah. I am right now. Currently, I am, yes.
Are you, or did the simulation make you do that? Is that the great irony, that you don't believe it, but you have to say it because the simulation programmed you that way?
Exactly.
You can say whatever you want. No one's listening now. We just, like, everyone just turned off the radio. This is your moment. You want to go after anybody?
They're here.
They're here. By the way, Klug, Adam Klug, former producer of mine, program director in San Diego, sends me UFO stuff, which I normally like, but now there's so much of it, I almost have to be like, bro, you're freaking me out. There apparently was a UFO spotted. Did you see this? Tom?
I did not.
No. There was a UFO. I can't even remember the city because it's so, and there's a photo of it. Like, UFO spotted over Miami. Real, and the FBI confirmed it's an unidentified, we don't know what it is.
There are a lot of them. I've been doing a little bit of a deep dive on these the last couple of weeks. I've been kind of not sending them to you because I don't want to totally freak you out. But yeah, the FBI has confirmed quite a few of these.
I kind of want to lean into my society under the water thing. That's kind of where I'm at. On that note, we're going to take phone calls at 855-212-4CBS and then do buy or sell on identified sports topics coming right at you next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back into the program. Writer Than You is the name of the show. I'm Bill Ryder. Thank you for listening here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Remember, on Saturday, teams on the bubble and tournament seeds still up for grabs. CBS rolls into March with a college basketball triple header starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with Georgetown and Connecticut, followed by number 6 Alabama at Georgia and a Pac-12 matchup between 19th-ranked USC and UCLA. March is here, and the road to the Final Four continues on Saturday with a college hoops triple header on CBS. Is there a better example of the arrogance of the past destroying the future than UCLA basketball? Look, you say what you want about unlikable head coaches, but success isn't celebrated the way that it used to be and the way that it should be. And UCLA is a perfect example. I know a lot of people don't like Ben Howland. I get it. And I was around Howland in the green room of the TV network I used to work at a lot. And I found him not a bad guy, but not a charming man, right? A very sort of brusque dude. He really took to me when I told him I thought he should be the Missouri head coach. That's when, like, he's like, you're smart. The guy made, what, 2 Final Fours? And they've been on a downward track ever since. I'm just saying, celebrate your past. Celebrate it, but don't be beholden to it. Don't make the mistakes that arrogance lead to. You don't want to be Michigan football or Nebraska football. Well, frankly, what Alabama would be if Saban hadn't come in, right? That savior. What the Lakers would be if LeBron hadn't. I mean, think about those two brands. Alabama and LA got saved by once in a generation all-time greats. No offense to the Lakers or Alabama, but you didn't do that. You just got lucky, right? And I think the ability to sell Nick Saban on Alabama, the ability to sell LeBron on the Lakers, I mean, that, okay. I think Jeannie Buss gets some credit. I think the administration in Alabama going back to 2000 and whatever the hell it was, 2008 or 9 or whenever he showed up, I think that's really, yes, it's significant. Got to be careful. It's a difficult balancing act. You got to know what you have, and you got to be able to adapt to the future. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Gary in Jacksonville, what's up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill, I missed part of your show, so please forgive me if you've already gone over this. But in regards to the scheduling, I don't like it on so many levels, adding a game because of the fact that, first of all, you have create an odd amount of games, which is ridiculous in my mind. You have, you know, 9 home and 8 road. And no other league has an odd amount of games. It's ridiculous. Plus, how the NFL, oh, they love to get on their high horse and preach, oh, we care about safety of the players. You know, it's of utmost importance to me. Well, let's add another game and risk more injury to players. I mean, I love the NFL, but I think it's too much of a good thing. It's, to me, it was fine the way it was.
Gary, I'm with you, buddy. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening. This is the exact point, the points, plural, I suppose, that I made an hour ago. And I didn't make the point about the odd number of games. Now, I wonder if the long-term strategy of the NFL, because they are bright and they think of these things, is to understand that lack of balance is a problem and you don't raise it, which makes it really easy to say, you're right, that's why you're going to be in Mexico City or London or other markets one time. Every team is going somewhere one time a year. That is unusual. That is not home or away per se. And it's also hot garbage, frankly, to have a home game in London. But I got no issue with the NFL in London. I'd rather the NFL, frankly, open a franchise in London than go to 17 games, because that is opening yourself up to a whole new market and trying to bring in a whole bunch of money without, for me, damaging the game in a significant way. Damaging in a significant way might be overstated. Not appreciating your past, making a very similar mistake to a place like Nebraska or UCLA or Alabama, thinking that you are so remarkable that you're incapable of mistakes that will change everything about how you see yourself. That is the beginning of the end for programs and sometimes for leagues. Just baseball used to be the 800-pound gorilla. And it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in 1969 or 1974 or 1978 or 1982 or 1999. It happened piecemeal. There were some big moments, the strike, 94, the steroids era, whatever point you want to say that, kind of came into really the emotional reality of sports fans. Be careful, NFL. I think 17 is too many. It's one more. I think it's a mistake. All right, let's appreciate the call, Gary. Thank you, buddy. Let's do buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, I'm sorry. I got to go back down this trading card road, but there's just a lot of news in this department, including the fact that a Luka Doncic signed rookie card sold for $4.6 million this weekend. It is the second highest total ever fetched for a sports card of any kind. I believe a Mickey Mantle card went for over $5 million at one point. This signed Panini National Treasures Doncic rookie card went for $4.6 million this past weekend. Buy or sell, Bill, the future of the sports trading card market.
Wait. Like somebody bought a pack of cards and in
a
that card. It's not like they had the card and they tracked down Luka Doncic. It's like it came signed.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah, somebody else, I guess, got this in a pack and got to a collector.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So
I mean, sell. Again, not that people want me to do a soliloquy monologue on wealth distribution, but whoever you are, give some money to charity? You have too much money. You have too much money. What?
I'm in shock.
He's 21. I would find it obnoxious if it were a Kobe Bryant card from back in the day or a Michael Jordan. I mean, he has a Michael Jordan card, maybe. I'm okay, yeah.
Even if he ends up like somehow surpassing LeBron James in the future, I still don't understand how you're going to recover value on a $4.6 million playing card. But
why don't you
I'm missing something here on this bubble.
Why don't you just spend $2 million asking him to like come to your kid's birthday party and record it?
At least it'd be a life experience. Yeah, it'd be something real.
Let's have dinner for $2 million. It's a decent proposal.
And I was a Beckett magazine kid. I would get that dumb magazine every month and look at where my cards were going to be and calculate how much my fortune was going to grow and everything. Like, I totally bought this at one point. But of all the bubbles to pop and then make a resurgence, I just cannot believe that this seems to be happening. And it's getting digitized and it's spreading. This is where people with actual wealth are putting their actual wealth as investment. And I just, I don't get it. I'm lost.
I mean, I once had a sleeve of cards, 9 cards, that a guy, a owner of a baseball card shop in Aurora, Illinois, offered me, I think, $500 for when I was 10. It was all Bo Jackson and Mark Grace cards. 2 of them were signed. I still have those somewhere. Look in my closet.
Wow.
Remember, back in the day, I used to mail cards to people. Will you please sign this with a self-addressed stamped envelope? Bo Jackson and Mark Grace returned them, signed. I mean, I'm assuming it was their signature. Maybe it was their assistant, you know, Bert. I don't know.
If you can go track him down, maybe you can retire. So
I've got him.
Yeah, there you go.
If you would like to spend $4 million on a Bo Jackson and Mark Grace card, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R.
Bye.
Give you a listener discount.
All right. Several PGA Tour golfers used their final round at the WGC Workday Championship in Bradenton, Florida, to pay tribute to Tiger Woods in the wake of his harrowing car accident last week. Of course, that means that they were wearing red shirts and black pants. Here is Rory McIlroy on the honor.
For us, it's just a gesture to let him know that we're thinking about him and we're rooting for him. And obviously, things are looking a little better today than they were on Tuesday. But he's still got a ways to go. He's got a huge recovery ahead of him. But I think just For everyone to show their appreciation of what he means to us out here.
Buy or sell, the sport of golf will never have as iconic a symbol as Tiger's Sunday red.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do buy that.
Buy.
It is. I don't think he'll ever have a player as transformative as Tiger. And I can't think of another athlete on earth outside of Jordan, and really it was more of a brand through his shoe, that had a symbol that represented him as accurately as his actual impact on the game. So there's Jordan and the Air Jordan, and there's Tiger. But Tiger's is different because it wasn't a marketing campaign that somebody thought up, you know, outside of Portland to sell shoes. It was
organic.
Just Tiger's psychological attack.
As you heard, bogus reporting this morning, Ian Rappaport says Alex Smith is close to a departure from the Washington football team. I guess this isn't such a big surprise after the GQ article came out last week that painted his time there, and at least under Ron Rivera, not the greatest light. That means the Washington football team is now down to just Taylor Heinicke. Of course, Dwayne Haskins is also gone. By yourself is the right move for the football team to move on from Alex Smith.
It is, and I kind of hate to have to say that. I know he completed something like 67% of his passes, and look, I get it. And he played well. I mean, they won game. I think they're 5-1 with him starting, but he threw more interceptions than he had touchdowns. He looked a little shaky. He's obviously been physically changed by his injury. I like Alex Smith. I love his comeback. But if you're talking about the right decision for a football team and whether post that injury, I believe Alex Smith can be what he wasn't pre that injury, which is a guy that can take you to a championship. I don't think that.
Three contestants have stepped up for one of your favorite events in sports, the dunk contest, which will take place at halftime of Sunday's NBA All-Star game. Those are the Knicks rookie Obi Toppin, the Blazers' Anthony Simons, and the Pacers rookie Cassius Stanley. So about that change from Saturday night to halftime of the Sunday All-Star Game, buy or sell, the halftime dunk contest is a potential permanent home for the event.
I'll sell it. I hate the event so much. Can we rename this year's the Dumb Contest?
Buy.
It's like the Dumb Contest. Look at that dumb dunk. I hate the event so much. Now, to be fair, I've had to cover it, and this is an issue that is not your issue. It's my, right? I don't expect any of you to have sympathy for me. And I haven't had to do this in a few years, but the memory of it, sitting in an arena in some random city, having to figure out how to write about the dunk. How do I write 800 words on the dunk contest? And me being me, it's just my ball. Like, this is dumb. We shouldn't write about this. Well, we need something. You're assigned it. Cool. This is a stupid idea. Like, nobody cares about it. I don't want to write about this. Write something. So I had to write 8. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I probably was super obnoxious. Like, the stupid dunk contest Thursday culminated with, who cares? I'm going drinking. Probably file that. Who cares? The dunk. The moment LeBron stopped doing the dunk contest was stopped. Didn't do the dunk contest. Dunk contest was done.
Yeah, they got to bring star power back.
He killed it. Which is, you know, Blake Griffin jumping over that car at Staples, which I was there for, was really cool. Also dumb. I was convinced he was going to catch his leg, fall, and like injure himself for life. Because he's, you know, the Clippers, right? I'm glad he didn't. Also, he shouldn't have won. They literally fixed that. We should talk about this tomorrow. They fixed that thing to advance him. He didn't. He like missed it. Anyway, show's over. That was a nice way to end. Dunk contest sucks. See you tomorrow. This is CBS Sports Radio.